Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, so we start a new week. Shalom, great to be with you.
Shalom, Shavua Tov, they may have been dancing.
they just may have been. Ro, we got to get serious because there's a lot of things happening in Israel, so much more than what we just planned to talk about. So let's see what we can get through and maybe some extra as well. But very importantly, this controversy about the six Palestinian NGOs, which Benny Gantz apparently has labeled terror organizations. It's caused consternation in the States and in Israel, has it not?
It's caused consternation mostly because the states say they weren't apprised of it before it happened. If you are on Twitter, I really recommend you go onto the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs page. They have given their justification. So let's unpack this. Yeah. Over the weekend, Israel designated six Palestinian NGOs, its nonprofits, as terror organizations. However, the Americans and the Europeans, who are primary financiers of these so-called civil society or civilian organizations, are outraged at why Israel did this. They say, it's narrowing the space and we weren't told by Israel. One thing we have to understand is that when Israel makes decisions like this, even though the rationale may not be made public, they're not going to do something like this unless the proof is absolutely ironclad. And this is what Benny Gantz has said. Benny Gantz has said, we have absolute evidence. It is ironclad. But what we do know is that these are six NGOs with ties to the PFLP. That is the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which is recognized internationally as a terror organization itself. Now, they apparently maintain total control of these six NGOs. And how do they do this? They do this by employing or making sure that their people are employed and making sure that the funding that comes in is diverted to the activities of the PFLP. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs goes on to talk about they have engaged in the forgery of documents and fraud against European donors. And they employ people who are directly responsible for either planning or committing terror attacks against Israelis. And as of about this time yesterday, Israel announced that we'll be sending a representative from the Shin Bet, the Shabak, as they are known here in Israel, who helped to put these reports together, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to go meet with the Americans to clarify why Israel has made the decision they have. Now, if you have been following funding over the years coming from European countries, you will know that there's been a lot of controversy. In fact, England yesterday withdrawing some funding from Palestinian education, saying they're not happy with where the money is going to. So, we have a lot of this coming to light, and Israel saying that, even if we don't make it public to you, please rest assured that we don't do it lightly and we don't do it without irrefutable proof.
Okay, well, we'll continue to monitor that. Talk to me about the Israeli Prime Minister talking about climate change.
Well, we've heard a lot from Israeli leadership over the last week or so about climate change, about the threats posed by the climate change on our national security and also regional security. So yesterday, the government approved amongst their budget allocations 15.5 billion shekels towards reducing greenhouse gas emissions, towards fighting climate change. And our energy minister, Karin El-Haras, says for many years, Israeli startups have been at the global forefront in taking action in various areas. And now what they want is for ministries to come in and help as well. And they say this decision is intended to remove barriers, promote pioneering projects, and facilitate green energy entrepreneurs. And this comes just days before Israel is headed, or a sizable delegation headed by our Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, is off to Glasgow to participate in the UN's Global Climate Summit, COP26. We want to really, really play a leadership role in this area. We spoke at the end of last week about President Herzog putting together his forum under his patronage to fight climate change. And Bennett goes on to say, he says, it's the new national security interest of Israel, and it concerns the lives of all of us and also the lives of our children and grandchildren, and we are obligated to deal with it in Israel. It is at the core of our being. And he goes on to also say that Israel wants to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by at least 27% by the year 2030. I know some countries have said zero emissions by 2030, but I think this is Bennett trying to be cautious and rational.
Yeah, I must say, with your heat, I think you could not possibly endure another increase in a couple of degrees. It just would be way too much. Tell me, the little boy in me just loves these stories. I don't know where you found this one. I've trawled the press. I can't find it. A direct flight from Riyadh to Tel Aviv. Is that for real?
That is for real. So we have an extraordinary something happening in the next couple of hours, and that is a direct flight from Riyadh, which is in Saudi Arabia, to Tel Aviv. Now, we don't know too many details about it. We do know that the airline will be Emirates Royal Air, but more than that, we don't know. But of course, a direct flight from Saudi Arabia says a lot. And if you look at how things are progressing in the region, you know, we're all looking at Saudi to be the next country, or one of the next countries, to normalize ties with Israel into the Abraham Accords, you know, join the growing circle of peace, ride the peace train, you know, all those wonderful sayings that we've been saying over the last year or so. And there are some who were in the Trump administration who reckon that this could happen. On what timeline, we don't know, but that nothing takes place in the region without the Saudi backing, or without the Saudis knowing all about it. So I'm hoping that this is a harbinger of things to come, that this direct flight will be some kind of massive sign towards rapprochement and a starting of relations. But let's see what happens.
Let's see indeed. Ro, you did well. I've got some time. Good. I can raise two issues I wanted to raise with you. The first is Sudan. It appears that there has been a military coup. Israel and Sudan had signed agreements, peace treaties. Is there concern in the foreign ministry today?
Well, we are watching it with bated breath, as is the rest of the world. Basically, what has happened is the military have conducted a coup d'etat in the Sudan. They have arrested leaders, many of them in undisclosed destinations. They have taken over the airwaves. They have dissolved the transitional government. We have heard from the United Nations demanding for the release of these leaders who have been taken into custody. They have said that they will honor all international agreements. We are hoping that this will have no ill bearing on the Abraham Accords. Very, very important that these agreements still stand. So we are watching with, as you can imagine, a great sense of concern.
Sure. No, that's you've answered exactly what I wanted to know. And then a heartbreaking story where required the wisdom of Solomon, this awful story, how the survivor of this awful accident in Italy, this Israeli kid, is being returned to Italy.
Well, I think any story, and especially given the circumstances around little Eitan Biran. Eitan, if you remember, is the six-year-old little boy who was the sole survivor of that terrible crash of the funicular in Italy that killed his parents, his sibling, and his two great-grandparents. There's been a terrible custody battle between relatives in Italy, where apparently he has lived since he was basically a month old, and his Israel-based or Israeli-based relatives who come from his mother's side. So basically the court settled today. They say that he will be staying in Italy. The court found against his grandfather from taking him from Italy to Israel without notifying the relevant authorities. And the grandfather will now have to pay the 70,000 shekels in court fees. It's just tragic. I mean, for him, for the family to be ripped apart by all of this, it's just the circumstances surrounding all of this. It's just absolutely heartbreaking.
Ro, you took us to 5:30 on the nose. Thank you as always.
I aim to please, my friend. I aim to please.
You do indeed.